If we can please turn in our Bibles to the book of St. John, chapter 18, we're going to look at verse 28 through verse 40. It's a very familiar passage. St. John, chapter 18, verse 28 through verse 40. I'm going to read the text out of the New King James Version, beginning with verse 28. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning, but they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying by what death he should die. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" Then they all cried again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Amen. Most of us know this story, but I'll give us a little context. As you know, Jesus is standing before Pontius Pilate, who is the Roman procurator at the time. He served in that position for a period of 10 years, from AD 26 to about AD 36. Now, if you know anything about this particular passage, there were two trials that Jesus underwent. There was the Jewish trial, and then there was the Roman trial. In both cases, there were three stages to those trials. If you remember, the Jewish trial began by them taking Jesus to Annas, the deposed high priest. Remember, the godfather of that whole religious syndicate that was there. They took him first to him, even though he wasn't the reigning high priest, and he did an informal interrogation of Jesus, trying to gather some information by which he can accuse him and his followers of some type of insurrection that they were planning or overthrow of the Roman authorities. In other words, he was trying to dig up some type of dirt he can use against Jesus to present him as an enemy of the state. Because remember, they already determined before this they wanted to destroy them, wanted to kill Jesus. But since they couldn't, under Roman law, execute capital punishment, they needed the aid and the assistance of the Romans. After seeing Annas, he was taken to Caiaphas, Annas's son-in-law, who was the high priest, and however many members of the Sanhedrin that Caiaphas could accumulate in a short period of time, early in the dark of night. And they judged Jesus there. Jesus admitted that he was the Son of God. They accused him of blasphemy. But since they couldn't officially try a capital case by their own rules in the Sanhedrin, they had to wait till the morning. So then Jesus appears again before Caiaphas and before the whole Sanhedrin. And then they obviously sentence him to death for blasphemy because he claimed to be the Mashiach, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now they're bringing him over to Pilate for the Roman trial. Because remember, the Romans are the only ones that can execute capital punishment. And so at this particular time, if you know the situation with the Roman trial, it was also three stages. They brought him first to Pilate, Then during his interrogation of Jesus, he finds out that Jesus was a Galilean and then ends up sending him over to, remember, Herod Antipas. He interrogates him and then sends him back to Pilate. This whole thing, Pilate doesn't want to deal with Jesus. He's trying to get the Jews to just deal with this under their own circumstances. But Jesus keeps falling back into Pilate's lap. But anyway, this is the last appearance of Jesus before Pilate. And John focuses his gospel on the interrogation of Annas and primarily of Pilate. But here, what I want to focus on is Jesus before Pilate. And so Pilate begins his interrogation. Because remember, they're accusing Jesus of something that was worthy of death. They want him crucified. They want him dead. They want him out of the way. But the Romans weren't willing to just execute anyone without any type of trial. So Pilate begins, again, to interrogate Jesus. And during the course of his interrogation, we see here, let's pick it up at verse 33. Let's look at verse 33 through verse number 38, please. Because I want us to take a look at a few things that we need to consider. Because what I want us to leave with this morning is for us to understand the truth that we can find only in Christ, that can only be found in Jesus. We need to understand there's truth no other place but in the person of Jesus Christ. Let's look at verse number 33 through verse number 38 again. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." During the course of Pilate's interrogation of Jesus, he's inquiring if he's a king. Well, of course, the Jews are painting Jesus, or they want to paint Jesus to Pilate, to the Roman authorities, as a political threat to the Roman Empire. Because they want him dead. They don't care how he gets there. They're accusing him of all kinds of things they can't prove. I think the general accusation was that this man, originally they said, according to Luke, that this man is perverting the nation. He's subverting the nation politically and religiously. He's refusing or teaching others not to pay taxes to Caesar. And that he claims to be the Mashiach, the Christ, the King of the Jews. That's primarily the accusations they brought before Pilate. All of those can be clearly dismissed. Jesus was never trying to subvert the Jewish nation, either religiously or politically. Yes, he said certain things about the Pharisees and the religious system, but he wasn't the first one, and he wasn't the last one to do so. And as far as paying taxes, we remember Jesus said that, no, you should render to Caesar the things that are Caesar. That accusation coming from the Jews is laughable, like if the Jews really enjoyed paying taxes to Caesar themselves. So Pilate, obviously, he's asking a question, why did you bring them to me? And they're dancing around the issue. So that just made this man who's an astute politician rather suspicious of why they're bringing him. And so when he examines Jesus, Jesus saying, listen, I'm a king in the sense that he was a spiritual king. Jesus is king over a spiritual kingdom where he reigns supreme over the hearts of men that turn to him. It's a spiritual kingdom, not an earthly kingdom. And so Pilate, of course, he doesn't understand anything to do with what Jesus is referring to. But then Jesus volunteers. Notice he asked him why he was being accused, and then Jesus volunteers to share also what his ministry was, what he was doing while he was here, if Pilate wasn't aware. So he tells him that he came. He tells us, we just read here, that he came to bear witness or to testify of the truth, which leads to the main question we want to tackle this morning that came out of Pilate's lips. Now, we don't know from the reading of the text. It's not clear. Certain versions imply he said it scornfully. Others implied that maybe he said it sincerely. We don't know if Pilate sincerely asked the question. When he said, what is truth? When Jesus said, I came here to bear witness of the truth, he said, well, what is truth? Did he say it sarcastically or was he sincere? We simply don't know. All we do know is that he didn't wait for an answer. As soon as he asked that question we just read in the text, he turns away and tells them, listen, I don't find any type of fault in this man worthy of death to the people that had brought him. But Pilate asked a very perfect question, in fact, a question that all human beings need to answer, when he said, what is truth? And of course, if you ask anyone that question today, you'd receive a lot of answers. In the world that you and I live in, the culture we live in, we now believe in relativism. In other words, everything's relative. Your truth, my truth, depending on how you feel. You've seen this repeatedly in our culture, recited by even famous personalities, TV personalities, that they're saying, well, she spoke her truth or he spoke his truth. Well, that can't be. There can only be one objective truth. So it's either what the Gospels teach or what you guys are teaching, but they can't be both. So here Pilate asked a perfect question. What is truth? Unfortunately, in his case, he didn't wait for an answer. He should have waited for an answer because I'm sure Jesus would have given him the answer. But he didn't wait for the answer, but he does ask the question, what is truth? And that's what we want to talk about today in terms of considering. The Bible teaches that we need to understand that truth can only be found, objective truth can only be found in the person of Jesus Christ. And here, in the context of this interrogation by Pontius Pilate, we look at a couple of things here that we need to consider. The first thing is, if people are seeking truth and they want to know what truth is, they have to be willing to perceive the truth. They have to be willing to perceive the truth. Otherwise, they'll never find the truth. Back to verse 37, the first portion, read it out of the Amplified Version, says, so Pilate said to him, then are you a king? Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. This is why I was born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth, who is a friend of the truth, and belongs to the truth, hears and listens carefully to my voice. Notice, Pilate is standing before Jesus Christ. Jesus is telling him, I came here to bear witness to the truth. Pilate has right in front of him the ability to know the answer to the question he asked. Remember the Romans and the Greeks, they were always seeking knowledge, wisdom, through philosophy, you name it, the culture that Pilate came from. Here Jesus is claiming that he came to bear witness to the truth. This man asks, what is the truth? And then Jesus tells him in no uncertain terms. What he's saying here is that if you want to know what truth is, Jesus is telling him, listen, I am the author of truth. See, the Bible claims that Jesus is the author of the truth and he is the embodiment of what truth is. In other words, the scriptures claim that for you and I to know truth, we have to know the person of Jesus Christ, who is the author of what truth is and the embodiment of what that truth represents. This is what he was telling Pilate. I came here to testify, to bear witness to the truth. Well, Pilate, as you saw, after asking that question, he wasn't willing to stay there in order to perceive what the truth is. He just walks away. Well, you and I both know we've encountered similar situations when we've tried to witness to quote-unquote our pilots, where they're asking for truth, seeking truth, and we want to explain to them, but they're not willing to hear us out, or they tune us out, or they just walk away because they don't really want to find the truth, because then they would have to, of course, we're going to get to that, have to do something else once they know what that truth is. John chapter 14. Again, this is not what our culture believes, but this is what the Bible clearly teaches. The Bible is teaching us, for you and I to understand what the truth is, you need to come to Christ, because truth cannot be found outside of the person and work and the totality of the scriptures embodied by Christ here. Again, we have to be willing to perceive the truth. Notice what Jesus says in John chapter 14, speaking to his disciples, very famous passage. Verse 6 and verse 7, John chapter 14, verse 6 and verse 7. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. "No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." The Amplified Version reads, "Jesus said to him, 'I am the only way to God. I am the real truth and the real life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had really known me, you would also have known my Father. From now on, you know him and have seen him.'" In other words, Jesus is claiming here that he is the origin of truth, not a truth, but the truth, the objective truth. He's saying that he is the author of it, and he is the embodiment of truth. He's basically telling his disciple here, Thomas, who was questioning him, he's saying, "Listen, if you knew the truth, embodying me, then you would not be asking the question you're asking. If you want to know what God is like, if you want to know who God is, you're looking at him. You look at me and see me, I am the exact image and representation of my Heavenly Father." That's what it said. If you would have truly known me, you would have known my Father also. And he's telling them, from now on, you know him and have seen him. Well, the only one standing in front of Thomas in this conversation is Jesus himself. Exactly. He's claiming to be the author and the embodiment of objective truth. That's what the scriptures teach. I realize that's not what our culture teaches, but this is what the scriptures teach. Go, if you would, to John chapter 17. Book of John chapter 17. Going to look at a couple of passages there. God is anxious that you and I understand and comprehend the answer to the question that Pilate asked. He asked, what is truth? Jesus would volunteer, "I came here to bear witness to the truth." And what Jesus is saying to us is that he is the truth. His person, his character, his nature, he embodies what that is. So if you and I want to know truth to any degree, then we have to come through Jesus Christ, because there is no truth apart from Jesus Christ. He said that clearly. He said, "I am the truth," not a truth, but the truth, the only truth on how we can understand God Almighty. John chapter 17, verse 1 through verse 3, and then we're going to skip down to verse 16 through 19. Jesus' high priestly prayer, we read, "Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, 'Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.'" The Amplified Version of those three verses reads, "When Jesus had spoken these things, he raised his eyes to heaven in prayer and said, 'Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that your Son may glorify you. Just as you have given him power and authority over all mankind, now glorifying him, so that he may give eternal life to all whom you have given him to be his permanently and forever. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true, supreme, sovereign God, and in the same manner know Jesus as the Christ whom you have sent." 16 through verse 19 of John chapter 17, continuing in Jesus' prayer, we read this, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you send me into the world, I also send them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified by the truth." Amplified Version reads, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth, set apart for your purposes, make them holy. Your word is truth. Just as you commissioned me and sent me into the world, I also have commissioned and sent them, believers, into the world. For their sake, sanctify myself to do your will, so that they also may be sanctified, set apart, dedicated, made holy in your truth. Notice again, he's praying. He said, your word is truth. When Pilate asked, what is truth? In order for Pilate to understand or comprehend the answer to that question, you have to stick around for the answer. He wasn't willing to perceive what the truth was. Had he stuck around, Jesus would have explained it to him. But here, the scriptures are explaining to us that the answer to that question is, why can truth be only be found in Jesus Christ? Because he's saying here that he's the author of the truth. He is the embodiment of the truth. He personifies what truth is. If you want to receive eternal life, you can only receive eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's what the scriptures teach us. There are not 10, 15, 10,000 ways to get to God. There's only but one way. Jesus made that clear, and he's simplifying it for all of us. Pilate asked the question in response. He said, what is truth? Well, Jesus was willing to explain it to him, but he wasn't willing to perceive it. And the people that you and I witness many times, they do the same thing. They either walk away, tune us out, hang up the phone, whatever, because they can't be bothered. Well, if you're not going to bother to at least allow us to explain and point you in that direction, we can't help you. But if you're going to find truth, you're not going to find it outside of Jesus, because according to him, he came here to bear witness to the truth. He is the author of the truth. He's the embodiment of the truth. And we cannot find objective truth outside of Jesus Christ. There is no objective truth. Any truth we see in this world, it's only a repetition of what we see in Scripture. Jesus claims to be the truth. That's what he tells us. Here he's praying that we may be sanctified in the truth. In his word, he makes it clear. He says here, your word is truth. So in other words, what the Bible is teaching us from Genesis to Revelation, and primarily through the person and work of Jesus Christ, if I want to know what the truth is, God is willing to explain it to me, provided that I'm willing to perceive it. Pilate walked away from Jesus. People that walk away from Jesus are never going to come to the knowledge of the truth, because you're walking away from the person that is the author of the truth, embodies the truth, and can bring us to our Heavenly Father. No one else can. Go, if you would, please, to St. John chapter 5. This is what Jesus was trying to explain to the religious leaders who had doctorates of divinity, who were people that were highly educated, people that were not attending the church but running the church. And this was their problem. They claimed to be people, in many ways, teaching the Jewish nation the truth. But here, Jesus was willing to introduce them to the truth, but they were unwilling to perceive it. John chapter 5, verse 39 and verse 40, please. St. John chapter 5, verse 39 and 40. Notice what Jesus says. He's responding to his critics, and these were religious critics. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. Notice that? What Jesus is saying, the Bible, in this case, the Old Testament scripture they had, talk about me. In other words, all of the things you read point to the person of Jesus Christ, who is the source of this book, the author, the embodiment of truth. So notice, this is why they're searching, he's saying. You're searching the scriptures because you think you, through them, you're going to find eternal life. Jesus says this in verse 40. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Pilate asked, what is truth? That's an excellent question. The problem is, we found out from our text, as soon as he asked that question, he's not willing to perceive, understand what that truth is and what that truth embodies. He just walks away from Jesus. Here, Jesus is talking to his critics, saying, listen, he's encouraging them, search the scripture. In fact, this is how the Amplified version of that text reads. It says, you search and keep on searching and examining the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And yet it is those very scriptures that testify of me. Then verse 40 says, and still you are unwilling to come to me that you might have life. In other words, what Jesus is saying, you cannot embrace this Bible and its teachings without embracing Christ. Because this Bible, Jesus is saying, talks about me. You keep searching the scriptures because in them you believe, which is true, that you're going to find eternal life. But we just read it in Jesus' prayer. He is eternal life, remember? That God the Father is eternal life, and God wants us to believe the only true God and Jesus Christ whom we send. So you cannot find objective truth outside the person and work of Jesus Christ, because he is the truth. He is the embodiment of the truth. So if you and I want to spend eternity with God, that's why he told Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man can come to the Father but through me. Why? Because he's objective truth. He's the only path to God. It's not your truth and my truth. There's objective truth. And according to Scripture, again, I realize that our culture doesn't buy this, doesn't want this, but that's on them. I just know as believers, we have to embrace this book. And according to this book, objective truth can only be found in the person of Jesus Christ. He said he was the truth. Remember, he told Pilate, I came here. He's explaining his ministry. I came here not to topple the Roman government, not to establish a political kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom. I came here to bear witness to the truth. And then Pilate says, what is truth? Now, again, we don't know if he meant that sarcastically or if it was sincere. Either way, he walks away. Asked a good question, but he was unwilling to perceive what the truth was. And we encounter the same thing on this side of the world. Jesus is trying to teach us. If we want to know what truth is, we have to be willing to perceive it. Even as believers, if we want to know more and more about God, then we need to be willing to allow the truth to explain that to us, to open up the scriptures to us. Because after all, according to Jesus, these scriptures testify of him. From Genesis to Revelation, it's a Jesus book. It talks about Jesus. It points to Jesus. It exalts Jesus. Let's go back to our text. We see that we have to have a willingness to perceive the truth if we're ever going to find it. And secondly, what Jesus said here was, not only do we need a willingness to perceive the truth, he's explaining that in order for us to truly know the truth, we have to be willing to practice the truth. We can know mentally what the truth is, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're embracing it. Notice what Jesus said. Again, let's go back to verse 37 of our text. John chapter 18 and verse 37. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Listen to the last portion. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. The Amplified of that last portion says, everyone who is of the truth, who is a friend of the truth and belongs to the truth, hears and listens carefully to my voice. In other words, he's implying that you need to be willing to perceive it, but you also need to be willing to practice. He says, everyone that is of the truth and hears my words, it says here, they carefully listen and obey my voice. In order for us to understand what truth is, once we perceive what the truth is, we understand that the truth can only be found in Christ, then what we need to do, the next step here, is be willing to practice what the truth is. Because what good is knowing what the truth is and you're not practicing at all what that truth is? John chapter 8, famous passage, John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and let's look at verse 30 through verse 32, please. John chapter 8. Verse 30 through verse 32, reading the text again out of the New King James Version. We have to have a willingness to not only perceive the truth, but we have to be willing to practice the truth. Jesus told Pilate, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Beginning in verse 30, St. John chapter 8. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Let me read that again. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Note, it's not just knowing it, it's abiding in it. It's practicing it according to his word. And of course, for believers, through the aid and abetting of the Holy Spirit. Go to 1 John, please. 1 John, The first epistle of John. The first epistle of John, we're going to look at chapter 2, verse 5 through verse 6, please. 1 John chapter 2, 5 through verse 6. I'll read the text both out of the New King James Version and the Amplified as well. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Let me read the Amplified Version of the same text. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5 and 6 from the Amplified Version. But whoever habitually keeps his word and obeys his precepts and treasures his message in its entirety, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. It is completed and has reached maturity. By this we know for certain that we are in him. Whoever says he lives in Christ, that is, whoever says he has accepted him as God and Savior, ought, as a moral obligation, to walk and conduct himself just as he walked and conducted himself. What the scripture is saying here, what Jesus told Pilate, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. In other words, they not only perceive what I'm telling them, they're practicing what I'm telling them. You and I cannot, shall we say, perceive the truth and not practice the truth. And the only truth there is, objective truth, according to Scripture, can be found only in Jesus Christ. And in his interrogation here, and during the Roman trial under Pontius Pilate, Jesus is telling, remember he asked, what is truth? But he walks away. In other words, what Jesus is implying, he had to be willing to perceive it. If you ask, he asked an excellent question. He didn't wait for an answer. Well, you're never going to find truth if you don't wait for an answer. And the people that you and I are praying for, that's what we need to pray. They need to be willing to perceive the truth. I can't force them to hear the truth. Notice, Jesus doesn't force Pilate. He didn't try to keep him there. He didn't try to stop him. He asked the question, but he voluntarily walked away because obviously he wasn't interested. He didn't want this whole Jesus case to begin with. He's trying to get it out of his hands. It keeps falling in his lap. Because after all, as we know the situation here, Pilate isn't interested in justice. He knows Jesus is an innocent man. He's out, he's looking out for himself, his job, and of course the Roman authority. That's what he cared about. But here, he asked a question. Remember, Jesus prompted the question. I came here to bear witness to the truth. Well, what is truth? Again, we don't know if he meant it sarcastically or if he was sincere when he asked that question. There's no way you can derive it from the context. I know in some, even the Amplified Version of that text, it said that he asked Jesus scornfully, what is truth? Well, I don't know that you can derive that from the text because there's no way of knowing. We're not there. We don't know if he was sincere, but we do know one thing. He asked an excellent question, but number one, he wasn't willing to stick around to perceive. Well, what is that? You ask a question, well, if you really want to know, then Jesus would explain, I'm the truth. I'm the author of the truth. I embody the truth. If you want to know what truth is, you're looking at it. You're not going to find it any other way from any other source but through me. Well, he didn't stick around for the answer, but he also told them, everyone that is of the truth, in other words, been willing to perceive it, they hear what I have to say and they practice it. Because you and I can't know the truth and not practice the truth. That's where hypocrisy comes in. That was the whole case of the Pharisees. The Pharisees knew a lot of scriptures. They knew where the Messiah was to be born, right? They knew a lot about the law of Moses. But were they practicing what they were preaching? No, they were not. Here Jesus is saying, if we truly want to find the truth that we can only find in Christ, then from God's perspective, it says here, notice we read it beautifully out of the Amplified Version where it says that, you know what? The person that really loves me, the person that really knows me, the person that really is receiving this truth I'm giving them are consistently, habitually practicing that truth. They're walking as though, just as I walked when I was on the earth. They're allowing the life of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit to manifest itself through them. They're living what they believe. And that's the second thing we need to understand. that not only must be we be willing to perceive the truth, but we also need to practice the truth. Because there's no other way to prove to God that we sincerely love him and really believe what this book is saying unless we are practicing what it's preaching. John chapter 14, and then we'll move on. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, Jesus says this. John the 14th chapter, and let's take a look at verse number 21, please. John chapter 14 and verse number 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. I'll read that again. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. In other words, if you want to know truth, it's contingent upon the fact that we're practicing the truth that God has given us. You cannot divorce the two. There are people that know truth based on Scripture, but are they practicing the truth that God is revealing to them? That's the key. In order for this world to see Jesus, they have to see believers practicing the truth. And that's what Jesus told Pilate. He says, everyone that's of the truth, they hear my voice. They do what I'm asking them to do. You can spot them. That's how you know that they're my followers, because they're practicing the truth that they've actually received. The last thing that Jesus wants us to see out of this passage here, or at least we're prompted to, that we need to consider, is the willingness to proclaim the truth, the willingness to proclaim the truth. Notice what Jesus said in verse 37 again of our text, John chapter 18 and verse 37. Let's read that once again. Therefore Pilate said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, notice what he says, that I should bear witness to the truth. In other words, in order for anyone to know what the truth was, Jesus was out for the 3.5 years of his ministry, what? Proclaiming that truth, teaching that truth, performing miracles to verify the truth. That the reason Jesus performed miracles was to validate what he was saying and teaching so that people could pay attention to what he was teaching, which was truth, and would draw them and bring them closer to God. He tells Pilate here, he came here to bear witness to the truth. It's the same thing for you and I. If we're ever going to understand and comprehend what truth is embodied in Christ, then this is part of the deal. Not only do we need to perceive it and practice it, he's expecting us to proclaim it. The reason being is obvious, because there are those that don't know the truth, and there are those that aren't living the truth. So we need to proclaim the truth, not only for the unsaved person that doesn't know Christ as Savior, but also to bring conviction on those that are professing to live the truth, but are not living the truth, and exposing their hypocrisy, bringing conviction that they might repent of what they're doing. Well, that can't happen unless we are actually proclaiming the truth, speaking the truth. The only reason Jesus is in the position that he's in is because he spent 3.5 years of his ministry proclaiming the truth, which has gotten him to the point where he's at now, where he's about to be crucified. The reason the Jewish authorities wanted him dead was because they didn't like what he was, of course, doing. That wasn't so much. It was what he was saying, what he was claiming about himself, claiming to be the Christ, claiming to be the Son of God, claiming to forgive sins. That's blasphemy. Only God can do that. Who do you think you are? Remember, repeatedly he said, you being a man, you're acting as though you're God, and they wanted to stone him. Well, he got in trouble because of what he was proclaiming, what he was preaching. Well, the reason Jesus couldn't keep silent is because how is anyone going to know what the truth is? Unless, of course, we proclaim the truth. That's what he told Pilate. I came here. Notice, I was born, speaking of his humanity, but he also said, I came into this world. Long before he inhabited the womb of Mary, he was pre-existent. He said, I came into this world for a specific reason. What was that? To bear witness to the truth. That was his ministry. And that has to be ours as well. How is anyone going to know or have an appetite for the truth if we don't explain to them in a culture that's teaching them that, no, your truth, their truth, it's relative. Everything's relative. It's how you feel, how you depend, how you define truth. You make your own truth. Well, no, there has to be objective truth. Well, where is that objective truth found? We claim, of course, it's in Christ and the Bible. Well, they're never going to know that that's an option if we don't present that to them as an option. This world's going to say what they want to say, but we can't keep silent because, for the same reason, the only way that Pilate was going to hear what the truth was unfortunately, in his case, he wasn't willing to sit around to perceive it and to absorb it so Jesus could explain it. So he was never in a position to obviously obey it or practice it. But here, the reason that Jesus did what he did was to give that man an opportunity. Now, it was his choice. He walked away. You and I are confronted every single day, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors. We're trying to share with them the truth. They don't want to hear it. But we have to proclaim it anyway. We can't do the work of God. Notice Jesus does not stop Pilate. Wait a minute, don't walk away. You're never going to get a second chance. You understand? You walk away from me, I'm the truth. You're going to go straight to hell. Jesus doesn't even go there. He gave him the opportunity. You ask the question, the truth is in front of you. He doesn't bother to wait for an answer. We've encountered the same thing when we've tried to share the truth with others. But that shouldn't discourage us from proclaiming the truth. Because after all, that's what Jesus said here. He says that I should bear witness to the truth. That's why I came here. And as believers, why do you think we're here? People aren't going to come to Jesus Christ unless we open our mouth and proclaim the truth of what we're teaching this morning. Go, if you would, to the book of Romans, please. The book of Romans. The book of Romans, please. Chapter 10. Let's look at verse 14 and verse 15, please. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 through verse 15. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. The Amplified Version, same text, reads this way. But how will people call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher, messenger? And how will they preach unless they are commissioned and sent for that purpose? Just as it is written and forever remains written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Paul is saying here, the unsaved world, how are they going to hear about Jesus? Unless we tell them. How are they going to know that he's the truth unless we explain it to them? How are they ever going to know if we're not inviting them to services? How are they ever going to know if we're not trying to encourage them? How are they ever going to know if we're not praying for them? Here Paul is saying, and we've been sent. There is no reason for this. And this is what Jesus is saying in that interrogation under Pilate under the Roman trial. He told him, I came here to bear witness to the truth. You and I as believers, from the day that we accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, hopefully we have, of course, from that point on, we've been commissioned. We also are to bear witness to the truth. What truth? The truth in Christ. There is no truth apart from Jesus. If you want to find objective truth, you have to come through Jesus Christ. The Bible makes that clear. What our culture teaches, that's on them. But what our Bible teaches is, if you want to know what truth is, you have to come through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And the onus is on us as believers. Jesus is physically no longer here, but we are. His Holy Spirit is dwelling in us if we're born again believers, and we need to allow him to use us as instruments to proclaim that truth so that people can hear. What they do with what they hear, we can't control. But we can control what you and I say, and we need to make sure that we're very vocal, that we're praying for God to give us boldness and courage to speak out in a culture that's becoming more and more antagonistic to this message. But again, it's the truth. The reason we shouldn't be ashamed of what we're teaching is because it's the truth. If it were not the truth, then it would be a different situation. But since it is the truth, We have nothing to be ashamed of. Jesus wasn't. Man, he knows he's about to be crucified, and he's saying, listen, I came here to bear witness to the truth. He wasn't going to change it. He wasn't going to alter it, even to save his life. This is why he came, because how else will Pilate or anyone else who's listening know what the truth is unless you and I share that truth? Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. One of the last things that Jesus said to his disciples. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. We need to be vocal. Yes, obviously, if we're not allowed to be vocal, we can witness with our life that they might see Christ in our actions and in our demeanor. But by all means, God gave us a mouth, and we seem to use it for a lot of things. But this is the best use that we can make of our tongue. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Notice, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The Amplified Version, Jesus came up and said to them, all authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Help the people to learn of me, believe in me, and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, remaining with you in perpetuity, regardless of the circumstance, and on every occasion, even to the end of the age. I think his words are clear. They're marching orders. And you and I, again, we have to be willing to perceive the truth. We have to be willing to practice it. And we must be willing to proclaim it. Because there are people out there who don't know the truth. And there are those out there that are not living the truth who proclaim that they indeed know the truth. And therefore, you and I need to make sure that they understand what God is expecting. We'll close with this passage out of Romans chapter 1, please. The book of Romans chapter 1. The book of Romans chapter 1, verse 14, 15, and verse 16, please. The book of Romans chapter 1, verse 14, 15, and 16. Reading the text out of the New King James Version. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to the barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Amen.
We would like to thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. We sincerely hope that this podcast has been a blessing to you and encourages you to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christ for the City podcast is a ministry of the Burning Bush Tabernacle Church in Chicago, Illinois.